Good morning, for those of you who might not know me. I want you to know that I love you. More importantly, God loves you, He cares for you, and He has a word for you today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Your love is great, powerful, mighty, holy. And we look at our past and we see who we are. We knew that we were unlovable, but your Son burst forth, planted a seed of love, and that love has taken root in our heart, and we're gathered here this morning to worship you and to proclaim your glory. And God, we just pray that the Holy Spirit does a mighty work. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. One of the most famous lines from any movie is that if you build it, they will come. In the Field of Dreams, this guy's going broke on his farm, and you know he's interacting with the mythical character, and this guy's telling him, just build this field, and people will drive up. He's basically going to pay off his bills. I want to show you that movie clip real quick. As you can see, preparing for this sermon today, thinking the whole world's telling you you should do something, but you want to do something else anyway, you should listen to the voice inside your head, you know why that we have service today. I want you to know that God has promised something. If you sow seed into your life and the lives of others, kingdom fruit will come into your life. And as he said, if you build it, they will come. Today, sermon is titled, If You Sow It, Fruit Will Come. I want you to listen today, because this passage is full of hope, full of joy. I believe that you're going to grow to be more like Christ today. I believe that if you take what God has promised here in this sermon, in this text, that the world will actually be a better place. I want you to listen because hope is found in the gospel. You know, our gracious Heavenly Father has given us everything we need in something very simple, something benign, something that the world looks over, and that is the gospel fruit of Jesus Christ. You are rich today with opportunity with gospel seed. God has given you the gospel of Jesus, the most potent seed that has ever been given. And you are to sow that in your life so that you can reap a harvest. I want you to listen today because there's also seed from the world that is sown in. But if you follow that path out, it leads to despair. When people sow gossip, pride, and fear, it leads to more despair and paranoia. Today, we're going to see how the Father of Light sows seed into our lives and it bears powerful fruit. The gospel seed is the most potent seed in the entire world, and it's often overlooked. Let's read the parable today. Jesus speaking, he said this. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First a stalk, and then a head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now, in this parable, Jesus has basically given us three ways that we can cause fruit to grow in our life. We're going to see the kingdom purpose come to fruition in our life from something as simple as a seed. God wants to sow fruit into your life today and the people around you. The first point is really simple. We all have a seed to sow. Now, I want you to know that, again, that this gospel seed has power. And I think we often look over this power and we look for great and big and fancy things to make our lives better. Now, this seed is so powerful. Have you guys ever heard of the seed company Monsanto? Now, what they have done is that they have engineered seed that certain insects will no longer attack the plants. And actually, when you spray pesticide on these plants once they come into harvest, that weed killer will not kill these genetically changed, mutated seeds. That's probably why we all have a lot of sickness, because stuff like this is going in our seed. But their seed is copyright. It's full of power, and it's so powerful that it's copyrighted and has a patent on it that you cannot retain seed if you're a farmer, that you can't save that seed and use that to grow it the next year without paying them for the seed. And there's some farmers who have tried it, and black SUVs and suits show up, and they will take the crop, they will harvest the seed. You can go online and Google Monsanto, and there was actually this huge lawsuit that happened over the potency of the seed and whether they had the right, farmers had the right to harvest it. In the Supreme Court ruled on Monsanto's side that is copyrighted, patent to them alone, to protect how powerful their seed is. God has given us one, and he lets us sow and sow and sow. He's not put a copyright on it. He's not put a patent on it. And he's given you the chance to have his seed that will grow you, grow your neighborhood, grow your family, and grow your nation. But friends, we often overlook the powerful nature of the seed. You know, a lot of you, we're all different. We all have different personalities. So when we talk about evangelism or sharing our faith or sowing the gospel seed, you're a Rambo type and you get really excited, or you go, oh, how am I ever going to accomplish sharing this gospel seed? How will I make a difference? God has chosen to give us many different ways to sow seed. You know, some of you are satchel farmers. You know, you just have a little bit of seed. You're quiet. You're not a large-scale farmer like in a project, in the large-scale projects, but God has given you enough truth in your life that you can begin to sow that seed in the lives of other people, that you begin to do good works, that you can share your faith, that you could encourage other people. And I know very introverted people, to the very point of them sharing their faith would cripple them emotionally. And I would just encourage all the introverts or people who are scared today, small-scale evangelists, if you have to bake an apple pie and put a card on it to do something for your neighbor, then do that. God takes the smallest things done with great love and does something powerful. I want you to see the power that is done when you take this seed and throw it on someone else. Now, I've been trying to get my yard up to speed. I'm the embarrassing one on the block, have a new house. My yard was treacherous. So it was a lot of money to cut down the trees, dig out the stumps, and get grass. This year, I'm going to be able to put down good grass. And what I'm going to use is a broadcaster. And I'm going to spread that seed out. And if I have a little bit extra money, I'm going to use what you call a slice seed, one of those little machines that will put it down in the dirt. And that's kind of a medium-sized project. I want you to know that you can witness in your groups, that small groups are such a powerful, effective tool to do evangelism. To do evangelism as a family. To have a mid-sized thinking about you that say, how can we share the gospel as a family within our marriage, within our small group? Because it is easy to invite people into a circle. And it is easy to say, we want to love on you. You know, in the New Testament, it writes out what we should be. It's very clear. It's very explicit in its instructions. Do you know the greatest evangelism tool? If the church would truly love one another. Churches hire consultants. They put hundreds and thousands in the dollars at these large churches and to do multimedia and to do advertisement and to do all these things. And some of those things may be good. But the number one evangelism tool set out in the New Testament, if my people would love one another like Christ has loved them, the world will know that you are my disciples. When a church loves one another, it is a sweet smelling aroma to the outside. There's something different happening here. There's something new happening here. There's something that God can change your life. And friends, that happens. And then you have the large combines. You know, I was out at my sister's house. She lives out on a farm, and I was amazed at the GPS. These combines, they don't even drive them anymore. They're on a GPS, and they just go up and down the rows. And I was amazed how big the tires are and how they don't destroy the corn and the beans and how this big machine can get through there. And it's all laser-guided GPS, and they've got a big operation, up to 1,000 acres of corn. And that's the ministry of the church. We can do large-scale events together to throw out tons and tons and tons of seed that only a group of people can do. We can build a bonfire, so to speak, to let the world know that we believe in sowing this seed. because it's true. If you sow it, the fruit will come. So what do we take from that? Friend, I want you to know that God has called you to sow seed personally. That there are no sideline evangelists. There are no people who, it's not a professional gig. It's not for the pastor. It's not for the elder. We are all called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ as a ministry of the church. Friends, we have a city that's in desperate need of the gospel. There was a shooting on Sheffield the other night. Growing up, maybe I wasn't aware, but some of the violence that's happening in our city, I don't remember that happening as a child. I don't remember seeing the town in such desperate needs with drugs and alcohol. And we can't look to the government. We can't look for some special programming. What will save this town is the church, the bright light, the city on the hill will faithfully sow the seed for Middletown. Point number two. We'll go back to these two verses, verse 27 and 28. The point is this. When we plant seeds, we have to trust the process. Verse 27 and 28 says this, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. I love this parable and its placement in the Gospel of Mark, because you have the sower and all the different soils. And it's kind of like, that's a message. You need to have your heart right to receive the seed. The next one is the lampstand, and you have to, again, give God's word a prominent place in your heart. Why this parable is so needed here today, and I'm glad to share it with you, is this. This parable teaches us that we can trust God's process, that we can actually sow in faith, and that we can enjoy the process of coming to Christ and watching other people come to Christ. Church is not a high-stressed, anxiety-filled adventure. Watching, being a part of a church and a gospel enterprise to sow seeds so that fruit will come, we are supposed to be like little children who trust and hope and have great joy. You see, the farmer doesn't know how the seed sprouts. He just simply knows if he takes a seed and that seed makes contact with the soil, that God will produce fruit. And I want you to know that we don't have to worry about the fruit. Our job is to simply sow and water. To sow the seed, to water it, to give sunlight to it, to sit and bask and watch the miracle of what happens. We need to trust with expectation because God takes his time. When you think about a baby being born, isn't it wild that it takes 9 months? And it gives the family time to adjust. It gives your mind a way to get around. There's a baby coming. It gives you time to get ready. It's not a microwave approach. It takes almost a year. And then it seems like when the baby is about to come, everyone is ready for this new life. We have to trust the process. When the child is born, you crawl, then you walk, you learn how to talk, you go through the process of growing up. And growing up is a slow, painful, glorious process of becoming someone who is mature. And you've all been there where you've had to wait and grow and scrape your knees and grow. But God takes his time and we have to trust. But friends, I think where we go wrong sometimes is, are we really sowing in faith? Are we really hoping the seed's going to grow? And I was checking my attitude and my spirit this week. And I want, as I throw seed and gospel seed, I want to know that fruit is coming. That God has promised if we will sow the seed, that the fruit will come. What does he call us to do as we trust his process? The other night, I was exhausted from a long week of ministry. I believe it was Thursday night. And I went home, and I fell asleep at 5:30 without knowing it. I mean, I was still in my slacks and a shirt. And for some reason, my boys usually would come jump on my head and punch me or something. You know, something would happen. But I was in a dark basement, and the lights were off, and I passed out. And I woke up about 10:30. And I haven't put a clock yet down there. So I got up and I started to work on my sermon because I thought it was 4:30 or 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, well, I'm up. Let's go to the desk. And I made some coffee and I looked down and it was 10:30 p.m. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm gonna be up all night. It's gonna ruin my Friday and Saturday. And I was able to lay back down. I passed out and I woke up at 7 a.m. the next morning. I slept like a baby. And when I woke up, I had this joy because my body was rested and I felt very good. Friends, as we do ministry as a church, personally, you can sleep like a baby and have joy that God is going to do a mighty work. And you can trust that the seed that is sown is actually going to work and produce a fruit. Paul says it this way in Colossians. He is the one we proclaim, talking about Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Do you know when people are called to Christ that they have a long journey? They are born again. They are usually given imagery of a newborn infant where they need milk, not solid meat. And so as a church, one of the things we have to learn to enjoy the process is discipleship is messy. If you go sow seed in Middletown, guess what? Middletown will show up. That's a joke. You should laugh. And that people will come with all kinds and sorts of problems. And there's problems with inside this room today. But God enjoys the process of maturing us, and a grace overshadows us and blankets us with this great hope that you don't have to have it all figured out. And discipleship looks more like this than a slow, steady climb. But God is faithful to mature people. Oftentimes I'll walk around in public and I'll meet teachers and I'll meet people from my past. You know, a lot of times I forget how bad I was. I do. I have this new image of myself where I'm just a great guy, right? And I ran into a baseball coach and a teacher in the same week. And the baseball coach, he just made fun of my outward appearance, which was kind of sad, right? He's just like, I just kind of left the press, like, oh man. He's like, you used to be really fast. And he's looking me up and down. but the other lady, and I guess I was really bad in her class. I don't remember having that much interaction. She said, I heard you're a preacher. God must really do miracles. And I kind of left again, like, oh, that hurt. She's like, you were really bad. You were a bad person. She just was leveling me. And she didn't walk away like, I'm glad you changed. I'm glad things worked out. Like, and just kind of turned away. So I must have been really bad in her class. But the things that I tried to remember that I did in her class, I can honestly say that I wouldn't do those now, that God has changed me as a person. But my discipleship path was messy. It was hard. A lot of scrapes and bruises. David Culp chastised me more times than I can count as an intern for stupid things, behavior, and problems. But I can say that at this church, I received love and grace and hope, dust yourself off, and get ready again. And that love that I received from people gave me the encouragement to keep going and going and going. And friends, if we're going to do ministry, we have to enjoy this process. It's messy, it's hard, it's long, but it's the way God has set it up in creation and within the church. And third, and probably the most fun part, we have to celebrate the harvest. The farmer who doesn't know anything planted the seed. He knew that if he sowed the seed, that fruit would come. And we see that he celebrates the harvest. Verse 29, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. You know, I started thinking back on ministry and looking at highlights of seed that was sown and watching fruit come into fruition. It is weird. This year I'm turning 40, okay? So I've just had that thought in my mind. Like, I'm turning 40 here in a few days. That's a little different. I'm starting to see some kids that I had in youth ministry get married and have kids, all right? That's just a new thing for me. And I started thinking back fondly of some of the people that have gone through those ministries. And the first one that came to my mind is a missionary we now support, Leslie Hall. She's a girl that grew up at Fenwick. She came to church. Her family supported her, but I don't know if they came with her or not, but she was here faithfully every week in youth ministry. She's a missionary in England now. And she's got all these cool ministries with bites and all these. If you don't know, England is post-Christian. Less than 3% of the country goes to church and attends church at this point. But there she is in the middle of the city proclaiming the gospel. And I look back to where Leslie started. It's amazing that somebody, whether it was Jake or Andrew, planted a seed in her heart. And now she's raising money and she's taking the gospel to a whole different country. She packed up and took her whole life and went to another place to proclaim the gospel. Amanda Daniel, who you might know as Amanda Rager. She came in and her grandma had a background in church. I don't think her family was coming at the time, but she came in, she got saved. She became an intern for James. She's been in ministry this whole time. She went to Anderson and I believe she got her MDiv. And she just had this powerful ministry. But this year, she's planting a church out of her house. She's taking the gospel to Indianapolis and the surrounding parts, and she's crafting a church for where people who don't like church or won't come into a church building, she's making a church for the lost and the broken, and she's there to love them. And she wants our church to sow more seed into her and to give her money to help her in this enterprise. I got off the phone 2 days ago with Andrew Miller. He's graduating from Fuller Seminary. And he got his MDiv, and that's a very hard degree to get, and he did it while he was working full-time. He did it part-time. He had to fly out to California, fly back. He was on campus 6 times a year, I think, 4 times a year, flying back and forth from California. Looking back on Andrew's sermons, he was crazy. He'd break stuff. He loved to preach about the crucifixion of Jesus like more than anyone I've ever known, and loved to show gruesome pictures as he preached. And he just had this real passion. Andrew has turned into one of the finest men and pastors that I know. He's leading a citywide ministry where students who are at risk for depression and suicide in Pittsburgh are coming. The school system after school system is telling Andrew they need him in their school system. And they know it's a church-based program. And I remember that seed being sown by Andrew's family in the church and watching him grow. Friends, when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you won't know what the fruit is to many years later. And nothing as small, even in today's service, seed is being sown and we do not know the fruit of what might happen on a weird day like today. In Billy Graham's church, where he was faithfully taught Sunday school, there were less than 6 boys in that class. They all went to do full-time ministry. Do you know that there was one man, he goes without recognition all the time, but he faithfully showed up week after week and proclaimed the gospel to those young boys. And a worldwide revival came out of that Sunday school room. If you sow it, fruit will come. And I'll tell you what, we all like to work for a paycheck. Seeing the fruit come fuels your passion. It helps you go back to the seed and grab more to cast more. And the more and more you see it, you begin to trust the process and you begin to enjoy that the world says this and they're always naysaying and it's always bad. Our country's full of despair, but the gospel seed is full of hope. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the gospel seed that went into the ground where he came off the cross and resurrected still saves today. The gospel still sanctifies, still calls people into ministry. The gospel has power. Middletown's not done. This church is not done because the gospel seed is potent and we need to throw it with faith, with all hope that we have, with all the joy that we have, and we will celebrate the harvest. Jesus said, look up your eyes because the harvest is full. The harvest, the grain is white and ready for the sickle to be put to it. Friend, I want to have faithful eyes that when I'm in a restaurant, when I'm in a group of people driving down the street, those are people who have not yet come to Jesus yet. They are not my enemies. They are people who need the love of Jesus Christ and who they are. Jesus was that seed. And when you think about what he did for those 12 men, the brokenness in each of their lives, but he sowed a seed in them so deep that they took the gospel to the outermost parts of the world. You are sitting here today because Jesus Christ was the internal seed who gave it to 12 other men, and they took that gospel faithfully. And you are here today based on that faithfulness and the potency of that seed. God's word does not return without void and always produces fruit. He tells us in John 15, you will bear much fruit. Let us pray. God, we thank you for every heart here today. And we thank you, God, that your seed is powerful and it can be scattered and it can grow. And God, we don't even have to have it all figured out. We don't have to be wonderful theologians to spread your seed. All we need to know is that we were once blind, but now we can see. That we were once angry, but now we have joy. And God, that gospel is so powerful, it is the thing that will change. It's the process that we can enjoy and watch. And God, when we put our sickle to the harvest, we can sing and dance that you have brought the harvest. God, help us to be faithful to sow and to water, to encourage, to gather. But same time, Father, that today we can trust and rest. The work doesn't depend on us. That you will do the miracle underneath the soil, that you will bring it to fruition, that it will grow into a large tree for from a very small seed, and it will produce incredible fruit. So God, today on a day where we shouldn't be here, I know that your seed is going into hearts. To build our faith, may we see something amazing happen from today. That we could declare it happened from this gathering, in this snow, with these people. God, help us win Middletown to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.